I'm Russ White for MSU Today. I recently caught up with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon. She says MSU continues to work on international travel, study, and research issues for its faculty and staff.
Well, I think some of the logistics are getting worked out. The perception with our international partners remains. In part, while they're assured that, for example, green cards are going to be recognized, that existing visas, that if you want to go back and forth with your family, those are to be recognized. Those are all improvements from the first executive order. And I think that we're getting a little bit of smoothness in the entire system of implementing it so that people feel some consistency. It hasn't, in our international partners, abated the concern that there's something else down the road around the curve that they can't see that might affect them. And so in that sense, I think we're in a little bit of a calming period. We're still advising students whose visas need to be renewed to make sure that they get their work done. We have students who've been admitted for the fall who have not yet received visa clearance, even though they've applied a long time ago. So there's a lot of those kinds of issues that are swirling.
President Simon is optimistic about the career opportunities for this year's crop of MSU graduates.
The last year's class, 90% had firm commitments for graduate school or firm jobs, 6 months after graduation. Some don't look right away. They're going to take a, quote, gap year. Others are just waiting to hear for that ideal job and that ideal place rather than a job anywhere. And so the prospects are even stronger for this class than they were last year, so I'm very optimistic.
She remains concerned about a lack of state funding for higher education.
Part of it for Michigan State, I think, is that you look at each year's budget and you say, well, we're 1.9%. It's the average of the appropriation. Gee whiz. And it was 2.4. And so, but the real concern is that we're working on 1992 actual dollars per student from the state of Michigan. The real concern is that we have more undergraduate students from the state of Michigan than any other university in the state. And our performance numbers, I think, are pretty good. But because we went into the formula performing really well, it's hard to get extra points for performing even better, even though we're trying to do that. So we're always going to be about average. Michigan's about average. Michigan and Michigan State are below the 2011 levels after the 15% budget reduction that was done across the board. Am I happy? We can make this work. We've made it work every year. We'll continue to reallocate and reduce in order to pay for things that are going to be above inflation, above 2%. And to pay for those, you have to take money away. Healthcare would be one of them. So people don't see always the hidden reductions because it's that you have to do to meet costs that are more than inflation. And so we'll work through that, try to keep tuition as low as possible. But again, it's a long-term trend. Michigan is at the bottom or near the bottom of support for public higher education over a 20-year period. Yet everyone believes that a post-high school experience talent is much more important. High-end talent is important. So is being a welder or electrician. So it's not a world of ors, it's a world of ands. And you can't sort of decide that today you need more welders and high-voltage people, so that's the most important thing. And, oh, by the way, when the next shortage comes on engineers in order to do autonomous vehicles and keep Michigan at the center, or software engineers instead of Silicon Valley being the center of the automotive industry. You can't say, well, gee whiz, don't we have a problem? You have to have sustained focus on these things in order to be successful. And that's what you have to worry about, because the sustained focus in Michigan has been a significantly downward trend.
President Simon is pleased with the imbuing of the entrepreneurial spirit among what she calls MSU's serial entrepreneurs.
Well, I think that, you know, I'm excited because in that group are people who started in the Hive and got acquainted there to entrepreneurship. There are people who are doing it through their colleges and their programs and not really connected to a center Hive, and they're over in the Hatch now. But the Hatch is not so much a place that they're doing all their work. It's a place to congregate and share ideas, and there's just more and more energy around that set of work. Lots of different kinds of companies, and some that are now serial entrepreneurs. In some cases, because their great idea didn't succeed. In some other cases, because it was just marginally successful and not as successful as they wanted, and they want to invest in some other ideas. So I'm pleased about the range of work. It's not just software apps, the range of work. I'm pleased that we're getting serial entrepreneurs who are coming off of failures, not just successes, because that's really part of the culture. If you think about Silicon Valley and other places we want to emulate, that's really important. I'm pleased that more and more alums are coming back to coach and help and want to do that and are excited about doing it and are doing it in a technology way, not just in an in-person way. I'm pleased that we're beginning to get some attention on investment capital for them. And so there's a lot of just very positive stuff over a relatively short period of time for us.
She's excited about the arrival of Spartans new hockey coach, Danton Cole.
It's really neat to have someone who's had the range of experience he has, from holding a Stanley Cup to holding a national championship trophy here. And somebody who tells you that he's built his entire career to end up with his dream job, which is to be the coach at Michigan State. And not just to come into it because of circumstances, but to purposefully say, you know, to his kids, to his wife, that, you know, this is going to be a job that gets me closer to doing that. And that's really neat and special and different. And if you think about coaches, everybody will talk about the institution, talk about the facilities and how everybody's been great when they're appointed. But to have someone who really focus their career on a dream job, you know, that bodes well, I think, for the future.
President Simon says the fact that Miles Bridges has decided to return for his sophomore year with Tom Izzo's Spartans says a lot about the culture of MSU basketball, and she feels this past season was one of Coach Izzo's best coaching jobs.
Well, you know, this is a tough year for him for injuries and whatever. I think he did one of his best coaching jobs this year. In part because how well he communicates with his players about where they are and what they're about. So many young kids who had to really learn and grow when they were always individually superstars when they arrived. And I think as well, you just add in the injuries. Yeah, and the toughness, the resilience that came with this team was really remarkable to see. And they were competitive beyond, towards the end of the season, beyond what people might have expected, given, again, another injury towards the end. So I think we have a legitimate shot at all of this. I'm never fond of being the preseason favorite on the Wheaties box and the Sports Illustrated, because it hasn't worked out as well as at the other years when we were on the cover and we didn't quite make it that year. So I'm okay with being co-favorites or one of the whatevers, you know, and we'll see what happens.
Part art gallery, part science lab, part theater, MSU is launching an initiative to ignite a passion for science, technology, engineering, art, and math in Detroit's young adults. It's called Science Gallery Lab Detroit.
I'm really excited about the innovation that it represents. You know, if you think about the science festival we've been doing around the state in April to really bring science home to people in ways that have a big wow factor, but also are inclusive of all age groups. That was an extraordinary, I think, program put together through outreach and engagement. The Science Gallery is an extension of how do you move that to a different level, and how can we connect science and art? How can we present technology in a way that's slightly different than just, you know, touching your computer? And I think it has enormous potential. Now, I give June Hewitt, Provost Hewitt, a lot of credit for seeing it in a different setting. And it would have been easy to say, we've got a museum, and we've got this, and we've got these programs, and, you know, we've got kids in the butterfly house, we've got kids in engineering. I mean, and to say that, yeah, we're not going to experiment in this. And I give her a lot of credit for seeing the imagination in it, seeing the connection with the among the arts, humanities, society, and things that are science and technology in the strong sense of that term, and how they fit together. So I'm excited. I have not seen it, actually. So I'm excited. I've seen pictures. I've seen videos. But I think you have to experience it. The thing I like about it as well is it doesn't require a huge amount of space to do it. And I also like the idea that it appears in Ireland to be very multi-generational. And so often when you look at science stuff, there's a kids section and, you know, a more complicated teenage section, because they are really, you know, in terms of their transformer and computer skills, probably more so, and then another section. And this essentially blends those things together in a very intergenerational way. And I think that's also very powerful.
President Simon closes our conversation talking about MSU's many sports that don't get the same attention as basketball and football do. She talks about the academic success of so many Spartan athletes honored each spring at the academic gala. And she reflects on some of the issues currently facing Spartan football.
You know, I would say that we've talked about hockey and basketball, and I would be remiss to do two things. One, we have a lot of other sports that you know, are doing well, that don't get as much attention. Cross-country teams, golf teams just won a tournament this last weekend with a relatively young team. You know, soccer has done pretty well. Baseball survived the flood, and won 2 out of 3 over the weekend. Ups and downs. But important kids and important experiences in sport at the university. The academic gala, that's our 20th academic gala, is really something special to see all the coaches there, except one who had a travel problem with a van or would have been there, dressed up, the coaches in tuxes, and there all night to recognize 300 plus kids who have done very, very well academically, and also to recognize the scholar athlete of their team. That's their one moment to hand one plaque, but to clap when their student athlete came across the stage otherwise. And then golf won 6 years in a row for their team. And when Stacy recruits, it's we're going to win this trophy again. And soccer won for the men this time, even though they had a great season. So those things really are so special. And then, you know, we're struggling a bit, obviously, with the news about football and coming off of a less than spectacular season. Lots of reasons for that. But when you hit a bump like that, I think it causes you to reassess values, to understand, you know, the fundamentals. We've gone through it with Tom and a little bumps along the way, if you think about his career. And we've been able to right the ship. I think in this case, unlike some other programs around the country, we've educated and trained. Lots of opportunities to talk. We had some young men who are alleged to have done something that is really abhorrent, and it was dealt with quickly, because no amount of training can fully eradicate decisions that are made by 18 to 22-year-olds. But all you can do is address them swiftly, let the legal process play out. In this case, it seems to be playing out very, very slowly, which is a problem for the university. It's a problem for all involved, the young men included, who've got, you know, to deal with what I would underscore allegations. And they don't sometimes feel like allegations in the media, but they are. They may be true, they may not, but I think we took a set of steps we would with any other student to preserve academic opportunity while the allegations are considered, and to recognize that playing a sport is a privilege, and you have to earn that privilege through behavior. And I think that's all you can do. And I think it's in the context of the national scene, you wish it would not happen, because one sexual assault is one too many. But it did. And it's happened in lots of other places, unfortunately. So we're not unique. But I think we dealt with it in a pretty straightforward way. And as a result of that straightforwardness, potentially made it more visible. But making it more visible, it makes Michigan State a place that deals with it straightforwardly, no matter your status, including being a student athlete, rather than using that status to get by through a season or other things.
You can keep up with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon at president.msu.edu. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.